Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel. I'm Joe Donahue along with WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Libby.
Good morning, Alan. Nice to have you here and healthy.
And Libby Post is a political consultant and our dear friend, and it's good to have you all here. Thank you very much.
Good morning, dear.
Good morning. Good morning. Merry Christmas to everyone. We're going to, we have a short show today in the sense that we have our hour, and then we're going to be broadcasting a festival of nine lessons and carols, as we have for the past,
I believe,
since we went on the air. They've been doing it since 1928. We've been doing it since we went on the air. So, festival of nine lessons and carols will be live at 10 o'clock this morning, and we'll be going up to that. And we always welcome your comments, roundtable at wamc.org. So while we are all in a peaceful and loving mood on this day before Christmas, let us talk about the former governor of New York State, Eliot Spitzer. This is the story that is dominating the headlines in the tabloids in New York. And a spokeswoman for the incoming New York City mayor has been dating the disgraced ex-New York governor, Eliot Spitzer, according to the New York Post. Liz Smith, 31 years old, who serves as Bill de Blasio's communications director, hosted Spitzer twice last week at her Manhattan apartment, the Post reported on Sunday. The newspaper details several rendezvous between the two, including Spitzer's late-night visits and romantic dinners at posh New York restaurants. A spokeswoman for Spitzer said the ex-governor holds Smith, quote, in high regard, and did not deny the relationship. Smith didn't return requests for comment from the Post. And meanwhile, the question going to the governor, the incoming mayor of New York City is, will she still be his press secretary when he takes office at the beginning of the year? So,
well, first of all, I got to say, I'm a huge, as you all know, a huge Eliot Spitzer fan. And it bothers me when the newspapers use the word, because they can, disgraced before every Eliot Spitzer mention. And I also think, he's a grown man. He has a right to date. He has a right to go out with people. Frankly, I think a lot of the guys at the POST are jealous, number one. And I'm very resentful about the way this guy is being treated. Rupert Murdoch, how many times has he been divorced?
Okay, but he's not divorced yet. He's still married.
So what? What year is this? I mean, they're kaput. And therefore, whatever she does is okay with me. Whatever he does is okay with me. Oh, please. What century do you people live in anyway?
Libby?
I'm shocked.
Shocked, I tell you.
Well, first you have Vito Lopez. Last week you have Dennis Gabrizak.
Wait a second.
It's really about the inability of some of these guys to keep it in their pants. And
what?
I can't say it. It's one of those seven words you can't say on radio and TV. And it's. Look, yes, the man was disgraced. He resigned because of a sex scandal. Anthony Weiner, the same thing, had to pull out of the mayor's race because of a sex scandal. Yeah. Have some respect for the woman who has borne your children, okay? If this woman, let me finish.
Yeah.
If this woman, Liz Smith, thinks that this was going to stay out of the newspapers and she was still going to get her job as press secretary of de Blasio's mayoralty, her head's on another planet.
You are a very, very conservative person.
That's right, Alan. I am, and it's something that people don't know.
And you're a very conservative person, and you are, I don't want to use this word, but in terms of...
Prudish?
Prudish, and... I'm so sorry to say this, somewhat reactionary.
Well, thank you so much. it's good
for
my cred.
What's reactionary about that?
It's good for my cred.
I think she's living in a different century. And I suspect you are, too, looking at the look you're giving me
I don't understand. The thing.
Okay.
What I don't get is if he divorces...
Giselle would kill you.
Not at all. Roselle is the most understanding person in the whole world.
Until your picture is on the outside on the front page of a tabloid coming out of an apartment at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I feel bad for
I'm
the
sure
wives
Roselle
here.
Is with me on this one.
I feel very bad for the wives here because they're the ones who have to deal with the incredible embarrassment.
Elliot Spitzer is a brilliant man.
I get it.
A brilliant man.
With a death
he has
wish,
a great
right?
deal to offer. There may be a little bit of that, but I have to say, you know, Rupert Murdoch, divorced 3 times.
Okay,
I think.
But divorced.
Wait a second, Joe. I'm not just finished with this one little point, and I apologize for coming on too strong. But the truth of the matter is that we don't see anything in the New York Post about whatever dalliances may have been between his marriages.
He owns the Post. Give me a break.
Well, that's the whole point. That's the whole point. These guys, they slander with impunity.
Okay, but it's going to show up in the New York Times as well. It's in New York Magazine. It's going to be
all
over the
media. I want to see what it says in the New York Times. I want to see what the story says in the New York Times. I have great respect for the New York Times. I don't think they go in for this kind of stuff.
Well, the question still is about who the mayor is going to pick as his press aide,
and it's
as
not
a result,
be her.
As a result of this.
What's wrong
scandal.
So what's the big thing? What's the big thing? I mean, why shouldn't he pick her? I think he should.
Okay, and you don't think that? And I'm not sure I disagree with you, but you understand obviously that people. You know, this is a story, right?
This woman will have no credibility with the press. Are you kidding?
Why not?
Oh, come on.
What, they don't sleep with people?
Alan.
What?
Alan, you know as well as I do how all this works.
No, I don't like it. And I'm,
well,
you
I'm
know,
not saying you have to like it,
right.
But I think we have
no
shifting morality, you know, all kinds of things that used to go on. It was that terrible story in the paper today about how the prime minister in England had the guy who had saved America in World War II, gets, after he's forced to take these treatments and castration.
Well, and he killed himself.
Yes. I mean, things change. And I'm telling you, it's about time some of this stuff changed, too.
Can I ask a question?
Anything. Anything at all.
Other than this.
No, not at all. Not at all.
If he were divorced from his wife. If he were divorced from his wife, if he announced that we are separated and we are divorced or we are divorcing and he took up a relationship with
I like
this
that.
Woman,
that's very kind of you. He took up a relationship.
Then no harm, no foul.
Right.
Okay. Now, why is it that we can put up with this stuff every day of the week? Seinfeld, this one, that one, from day one, and
what
nobody
about Seinfeld?
And what?
What about Seinfeld?
Well, remember what happened? He
broke up a marriage.
She had a marriage, and then they found each other. And I thought it was great. I happened to know the family, her family, pretty well. But I'm telling you, we have this thing about politicians. They're a sleazy bunch. And I resent what Libby tried to do there before, or you tried to do before. And that was to say the same thing that's going on in the legislature where some mature adult makes unwanted advances to three women and they bring a lawsuit against him. That's very different from what's going on here. You got two consenting adults.
No. Her point was...
Yes, what was her point?
Her point was about keeping it in the past.
Right. My point is about sex, politics, power.
50% of the marriages in this country end up more in divorce. And
right, but it doesn't mean it has to be for infidelity.
Here's Libby now talking to us about... about
and I'm married,
men,
happily,
about
and not getting divorced.
About men keeping things in their pants.
That's right.
I don't think so. I think, in fact, we have a different kind of society now, you know, and it's all changed.
What has changed? I mean, how have we... How
Our
have,
views. In the old days, somebody would have been brought out to the stake and burned for this kind of behavior.
Well, he lost his governorship.
Or stoned.
The modern day, being stoned in that kind of biblical sense, not the kind of herbal sense, he lost his governorship. I mean, come on.
What's your point? So isn't that enough?
then he lost the controller's office. You know, whether it's enough
or not. He didn't lose it. He wasn't in it.
Well, you know what I mean. He lost the race. It's about being responsible. He is still married to Silda. He has embarrassed her enough. File for divorce. Go out with another
woman. You don't know what they're
doing.
I don't have a problem. You don't know what their relationship is.
Okay, if he wasn't worried about, why was he leaving her apartment at 4 in the morning?
Right.
Well, people leave other people's apartments
oh,
at 4 in the morning. What's wrong
with
what, you guys? What's wrong with leaving somebody's apartment at 4 o'clock in the morning?
The person you love and are snuggled up with at 4 o'clock in the morning, you want to be there, not out in the cold.
Jenna writes and says, yes. How would Alan feel if Roselle were seen coming out of some guy's apartment building at 4 in the morning?
I don't know how I would feel because it hasn't happened. And I love my wife, and she loves me. So the truth of the matter is, I gotta tell you that until I married in 1970, Roselle, and she and I would stay in her little apartment every once in a while, and I had a separate place. I'm sorry, even though in the 1960s things were fast, I would come out of that apartment and I would look both ways. Just because, and we were going to get married. That's just the way it was, and that's just the way I was raised.
Nobody could have ever thought the lovely Roselle would fall in love with you, that's all.
By the way, you're exactly right. And they still can't figure it out.
Ludlow says, Alan is such a hypocrite. If he didn't like Spitzer and his politics, he wouldn't be defending his infidelities.
Why? If he what?
If he didn't like Spitzer and his politics, he wouldn't be defending his infidelities.
I don't know about that. How does he know?
Well, he's making a statement.
He doesn't know. He can't. He shouldn't say because he doesn't know.
Okay, next.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll let there be peace on earth. Silent
and
night.
Goodwill towards all everyone. Right.
And goodwill to all men who may be leaving an apartment
at 4 in the morning.
Hypocrite.
In a white hoodie.
Hypocrite. Well, maybe you got me.
You know, if he left at 4 in the morning, you know, maybe then there would be room at the inn.
Hey, that's true.
You never know.
And let's go to that next story about what that all means, shall we?
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
We'll be back. Right.
Support for WAMC comes from Field Goods, making weekly deliveries of fresh and frozen local produce to customers for pickup at community sites like the Pine Hills, John J. Bach, and Delaware Avenue Albany Public Libraries. Fresh foods from small farms, field-goods.com. Capital Cities Imported Cars, Glenmont, New York, offering new and pre-owned BMWs and Volkswagens, serving the WAMC listening area since 1975. CapitalCitiesVW.com. St. Mary's Healthcare, Amsterdam, New York, offering minimally invasive spine surgery. ChooseSTMarys.com. And Marshall & Sterling, insurance for business, home, auto, bonds, group benefits, and financial planning since 1864. Our people are your best insurance. Offices in New Windsor, Middletown, and Monticello. MarshallSterling.com.
Welcome back to the roundtable on this Christmas Eve edition of our panel, and we welcome you all to comment, not that you aren't already, roundtable at WAMC.org. Did Roselle check in?
She did.
Okay.
Okay. I'm with both you and Libby. Wait a second. What I'm upset about is the different standard applied to different people. Some get a free ride. Just kidding.
Got it.
Well, we're not going there.
Yeah,
it's too early
it.
In the morning.
Wow. All right. So,
what are we talking about now?
You know, I don't even know where to go from here.
Let's
quickly go. We have 4 minutes before we go over to news and have a
you get a lot done in 4 minutes.
Absolutely.
Sudan.
Well, I was going to ask about the so we added a day. There was such a hit on to stop, Alan, focus. So
I think he said he just needed 4 minutes.
Yes, I know. I know. So a day is added to the deadline as the rush hits the healthcare.org. Yesterday was supposed to be the deadline to sign up for coverage that will go into effect on January 1st. And I assume this is good news, right? If you're the administration, that so many people to the site that they gave him another 24 hours to say, you have until the end of today now.
And what do you think, Libby?
Yes, I think that more and more people want to sign up. And yes, it was screwed up, and now it's fixed, and let them sign up. I wish they would give them until February 1st. But
they can't do that.
I know, because
the
insurance.
You give,
I know.
We learned this during the fund drive. If Joe is on the air and says in the next 5 minutes to get this $1,000, which
right,
is true.
Right, right. The longer
somebody's
you give,
made that offer. Sure. But if you gave them a half an hour,
right,
it wouldn't be until the last 5 minutes.
Right, I understand. So, you know, we are a nation of procrastinators, and people probably did wait.
We are
wait,
a nation of procrastinators.
But the fact of the matter is more and more people are needing to sign up. And with 1 million logging on to the site by 5 p.m. yesterday, you know, that's just... That's just an amazing amount of people. It's clear this site is needed. It's clear this law is needed. And we need to stop debating the efficacy of the law and just get these people enrolled.
You know, we do. We're putting, 49 million people onto the rolls.
With any luck.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be watching the demographics very clearly to see if the people who benefit the most from this actually take advantage of it. And I will be very disappointed if it doesn't happen, but I won't be surprised.
Well, I can tell you, we've been after our 28-year-old to do this, and he's in Massachusetts, and he's doing it now. You know,
well, in Massachusetts, we invented this.
Well, I know you did, but still,
with
it's
governor,
like,
with
it's
our
there.
Brilliant governor, Mitt Romney.
Right.
It's
I
called,
know.
That's why
it's
we
amazing.
Call it Romney Care.
It's amazing. So, you know, I think some of the younger folks are going to be on it. And what it really means is we need to see the demographic, the people who really need it the most, the poor people in this country, really need to be able to access this and get through it. And they're going, and I am proud to say they're going to the public libraries and getting the help to access.
Well, you know, every day I get something from Tia Craft or from the state of New York because of my service as a college professor telling me what I have to do on some Medicare thing. I have no idea what they're talking about. These governmental missiles are almost unreadable.
Yes.
And you know, Roselle can't figure it out. Yeah. I can't figure it out. Everybody has a PhD in our family. Nobody
doesn't
can
matter.
Figure it out.
Right. Right. I mean, you know, you got to call
complicated
the benefits
stuff.
People.
Yeah, yeah. You know.
There.
And they don't know either.
Yeah. Well, it's true. I can tell you, though, Medicare and a wraparound is the best thing that's ever happened.
Medicare is fabulous.
Yes.
Fabulous.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will get into many other topics, and we have some mail to read as well. we'll get that. We'll talk a lot about the holidays as well. You can join in on the conversation, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Alan Chartok is here. Libby Post is here. We welcome your comments. Santa Allen is here.
I have my Santa hat on.
Yes, you look very nice.
Thank you.
And your very patriotic Statue of Liberty.
Yeah. Yeah. See, just from here, it looks like he's wearing...
just the red and white stripes.
It looks like a candy cane and his hat.
Right.
It was very seasonal. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Welcome back to the Roundtable. And again, happy holidays and Merry Christmas. We'll get to which is proper in a moment. When we talk about a poll that was taken on that very issue. And God knows I want to move on to another issue, but there is some mail about Elliot Spitzer.
There's a lot of mail,
and I may get to that.
And I want to say I'm winning.
Okay. It appears that the Spitzers are separated, so what they do is their business. No.
Excellent. Yes.
Yes, that's what they ask. I agree with Alan, says John. Spitzer's marriage is over, regardless of legal status. That is not in dispute. He has the right to date anyone he wants. If she feels some professional backlash resulting from her personal choice, that's her problem. I'm not one who cares. This is not news.
I didn't know their marriage was over.
Well, I didn't know that their marriage was over either.
Don't know anything.
Well,
okay, but again, it wasn't announced.
Yeah.
They didn't file any papers.
Let them stand on the Empire State Building and make an announcement, and that'll satisfy the Puritans among us? No.
Okay.
The Puritanical among us.
All right.
You and Joe.
Okay.
Yeah. I still maintain that if they were legally separated or divorced, he would go out the front door at like 8 in the morning.
I didn't when I left Roselle's apartment back in the day in 1970. I used to look both ways and thought maybe that the Puritan police were looking for me. True. No, I'm good. And it's so amazing. The day
but
after
we're
you're
not
married,
in 1970
the
of, anymore.
The day after you're married.
You're right.
You don't have to look either
that's
way.
That's right. You don't.
That's right. That's a great part about it.
But it's wrong.
What's wrong?
It's wrong that you have to look both ways. We live
well,
in a different
society.
Well,
I agree, but you know.
You think the cavemen were, what was going on?
No, let's not go there. Let's go to back to the comments, shall we?
Okay, and that Elliot Spitzer cheated on his wife is not an issue. The problem was that he was using prostitutes procured through escort agencies after making an issue of prosecuting them as attorney general. It's the hypocrisy, not the sex. Humiliating his wife just made it worse. So unless he and his wife are now separated, he shows he still has no compassion for her feelings. I don't want a hypocritical man with no compassion for the feelings of others representing me in any political office, says Brian.
Well, there were many more than the one you just came up with. I didn't even see that one. But then there were a couple of Alan is Rights that were there. How about
these are all the only ones. I think maybe your friends are checking in on your email. Oh, well, I'm not getting.
Yeah, Jacqueline wrote, Alan, you are so right. Keep the faith. Elliot will be our first Jewish president. I've always thought his other women were none of my business. Jackie said that. Okay, now. What else is there here that I could tell you about?
Do tell.
I agree. John says, I agree
this
with
is
Alan.
Our holiday present.
I agree with Alan, although he is not articulating well.
Oh, no, I read that.
Oh, you did?
Yes. I read
You're not listening.
Oh. I read that. I left out the part about you're not articulating
well. No. I love these guys who say, you're right, except I don't like you, so I have to hit you.
Yeah, all right. Well, I left that out. But I did read that.
So he did that. And is there anything else here?
Not worth reading.
No, that's a guess.
Because it's
that's
getting
about
to be 9:41.
Okay. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, okay, we can go on. All right, excellent. Let's talk about the holidays for a few minutes. That'll cheer everybody up.
Well, we are in holiday cheer.
We're full of holiday cheer. So let's talk about heart attacks. So 'tis the season for heart attacks. Not to dampen any spirits, but studies show heart trouble spike this time of year. It's not just a Western phenomenon. Recent research in China found the same thing. The increase includes fatal and non-fatal heart attacks and a less serious condition dubbed holiday heart syndrome, an irregular heartbeat caused by too much booze. Reasons for seasonal increase are uncertain. Theories include cold weather, overindulgence, and stress. So I guess that all makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other day, we had 3 heart attacks come within 4 hours, said Charles Davidson, chief of Northwestern Memorial Hospital's Cardiac Services Center. The hospital's usual rate is 2 or 3 a week.
Well, that's interesting. You know, I wonder what it is that's so stressful, you know, buying presents. We, on the other hand, this is a word only Libby will understand, the 3 of us. And me, of course. But on Thursday night, we're going out with the mishpucha.
That's right. So
then the question is, does that bring on stress?
It's all according how meddling the mishpucha is.
The mishpucha are your in-laws.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, no, that's your makatanister is your in-laws.
Oh, your in-laws?
Mishpucha is the family.
Oh, no,
makatanister is the relationship between your parents and Roselle's parents.
Oh, interesting. No, not Roselle's parents. In this case, Sarah's family. Other
okay,
his
so
guests.
That is sort of.
Right.
That could be stressful, but I think it's more about drinking and shoveling snow and going out into the cold.
And Macatina.
And the Macatina.
Which is a sort of dance, a Latin American.
Yes, it is. It goes along with the Macarena. Okay,
wow.
Joe. So, yes, I do think that, you know, I found this interesting because usually you talk more about suicide rates going up.
Right.
During this time of the year.
Which is also, that's understandable.
Yeah, people get depressed. It's a big time for depression.
Absolutely. A big time for depression.
And flu season also coincides with this, which is
because it's cold out.
Right. And you've got a lot of germs going around and there's a lot.
And because it's 70 degrees one day and 20 the next.
Right. Absolutely. Which is what gets you sick, although some people tell me I'm crazy for that, but that's what my mother told me, and I agreed.
But, but the fact is that you can still enjoy, you know, that's the idea of the holidays, is you go to enjoy it, spend the time with your family, have a good time, and not get all worked up about it. God forbid, you know, don't give yourself a heart attack.
I was thinking about that in the car the other day, okay?
Yeah.
Now, when I drive from Great Barrington at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. After you've left your
car
hotel.
The car knows the way.
Right.
I don't sweat it. I don't even know if I went through the toll booth
right.
or not.
You're on autopilot.
When there are people who come to our house in Great Barrington from Albany who said, you do this every day? Are you crazy? I mean,
yes.
You know, because they don't have the same autopilot.
Right.
Now, if you follow the analogy, that's absolutely exactly the same case that we are talking with here. Because on the week, on the Christmas holidays, you're not going on autopilot.
No.
You
no, that's
I mean?
True.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, absolutely. No, that's a really, that's a very
well,
good
holidays
point.
Holidays do bring stress. It doesn't matter whether it's Christmas or Passover or Rosh Hashanah or Easter. It's just this incredible amount of stuff that has to get done. You know, you're going to be dealing with family, some of them you like and you don't.
Some of the
you
know, Macarena.
Some of the Macarena, some of the Makatena, some of the Mishpucha, some of them you want to see, some of them you don't. And then you have to be nice to them. I mean, you know, it's hard. It can be very, very
well, you
very
should be
stressful.
Nice to them. They're nice people.
For the most part.
I'm saying that only for the record.
Okay, fine.
What the record show.
Show that yeah. Alan likes his in-laws. All of them,
and
without question.
And right. I have like this year, I have a situation where you know, I pretty much planned it with my wife, and it's like everything's good. You know, mm-hmm. you're like, oh, okay, this is great. I'm looking forward to it because there's really nothing horrible.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
it's very nice.
Right in my house, we do both because. You know, Alex.
You do both what?
We do, not Hanukkah? In my house, but we do Hanukkah at my house. We go to Alex's dad's house and we do Christmas and we're all together as a nice family and it's really great. I mean, there's really something wonderful about how we've managed to put together this family that we have. It's a, you know, with Alex's father and
that's
his
your son.
Wife,
yeah.
Yeah, our son,
yeah.
and me and Lynn and all the other people that are involved in this. And it's one big happy family. And it's really very lovely.
Well, you are blessed.
I am. And I hate using that word a lot because yeah. I think it's overused. But I know that we are very lucky and that, you know, not everybody has what we've got. And I'm very, very thankful for it.
Right. But everybody does have Tsuris.
Yes, they do,
Tsuris.
Which is another word for trouble.
Yeah.
And yet
everybody has. And you know, I once went to an old doctor at Mount Sinai.
How old was he?
He was like in his 80s.
All right.
And it was years
shaking
ago.
Shaking hands.
He's got to be going. He's
shaky
gone.
Hands.
And I remember the guy, I love the guy. And he said, you got troubles? I said, oh, do I have troubles? He said, you think you're the only one with troubles? I said, like these? Yeah, I'm the only one. The guy looks at me and he says, if anybody tells you that they don't have troubles, look them straight in the eye and tell them you're full of beep.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support for WAMC comes from Lake George Kayak Company, a kayak, canoe, and stand-up paddleboard center providing sales, rentals, and lessons. LakeGeorgeKayak.com. Godfrey Financial Associates, Latham, New York, providing retirement planning and wealth management services for baby boomers and beyond. Independent, woman-owned, established 1995, GodfreyFinancial.com. University of New Hampshire, offering a new online Masters of Social Work program, now accepting applications for January. MSWonline.unh.edu/radio. And Topperson, natural medicine formula creams designed to heal muscles, joints, nerves, and skin conditions, including shingles and eczema. Topperson.com.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring ting tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Giddy up, giddy up, let's go. Let's look at the snow.
Welcome back to the roundtable. Just in a few minutes, we're going to be going over to a live broadcast of a festival of nine lessons and carols. It's a Christmas Eve service held in King's College Chapel in Cambridge, England.
So what's that all about?
The festival was introduced in 1918. It was first broadcast in 1928. And it's through telling the story of the birth of Christ in lessons and songs through scripture and songs, hymns, then they will do a two-hour broadcast from 10 until noon and tell the Christmas story.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful
Glad
thing
we're doing
that
it.
They do. Yeah, it's pretty gorgeous. Okay, that's coming up in just a few minutes. So let us talk a little bit about some of the holiday stories I found. I was looking specifically for holiday-related stuff last night, and I found a bunch of weird things. some polls. Number one is Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. A poll shows that most Americans prefer...
Merry Christmas.
If you have a choice of saying Happy Holidays to someone or Merry Christmas, most people prefer either receiving
Guess what?
Or
I
hearing.
Say Merry Christmas all the time. I came in this morning, I said Merry Christmas. Somebody who was sensitive in the office said to me, Happy Holiday, because maybe I'm Jewish, I don't know, but was sensitive to me. But I had said Merry Christmas to everybody there, and I meant it. I am not offended by this.
Yeah, I have no... I use Merry Christmas, but I tend to do holidays just because there are... It's
so
more than one,
of them.
You know, and you don't know what people are celebrating, and it does seem to... there's a holiday season, and so wishing someone a pleasant or a beautiful holiday or a joyful holiday season, I don't see anything wrong with that. But
I just tell people to have a great holiday and leave it at that.
Right. But I have no issue with the term Merry Christmas. That's very fine. Other than it's okay. If it's good enough for a lottery ticket, it should be good enough for us to say.
Good enough
right?
for me.
Yeah, there you go. Then there is this poll shows many see Christmas as a commercial holiday, not a holy day. Christmas, is it a spiritual occasion to you or simply a festive time of family togetherness?
Mm-hmm. Well, this sort of flies in the face of what you're going to do in the next hour from King's College.
Yeah.
Because they're telling the whole story in carols. And what's it saying here is that people don't necessarily believe that all of that really happened.
Well, is it that they don't believe, or is it that they...
No, it's that they don't believe it.
No, they don't believe it. They don't believe
it. There have been polls on that.
You know, that the Magi were actually who they were. That all of this is based around a pagan holiday, around lights. Like, we all know that that's the case. And Pope Julius declared the 25th to be Christ's birthday. There's nothing in the Bible that says it happened on 1225.
Right.
I mean, you know, but if it happens long enough... And people don't question it. It becomes fact in many people's minds. But still, not everybody believes it.
But if you consider it as a religious holy day,
yes,
and you treat it as such,
then it's yes,
yes.
Go ahead.
Finish up.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that I was looking at this poll and thinking, well. I don't know that it needs to be one or the other. I think there is certainly an over-commercialization of it. I don't have any
Everybody
issue about that.
That.
Mm-hmm. Right. And sure, it is a cultural holiday, as evidenced by many in this room who will be celebrating in some way, shape, or form.
Well, look at my Santa Claus hat
right.
on my head.
That's
right.
Right
now.
Right. So it is a cultural holiday. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any... I don't know that it has to be one or the other, I guess is my question.
Well,
I mean, for those who it can be a spiritual day. It can be an important.
It's a national holiday, and so it takes on a whole different meaning when it is a federal holiday and everybody has it off. And there's this assumption that everyone's going to be celebrating it, which isn't true because we're going to go and have festive.
Movies.
Fair.
Chinese food.
We're going to go on tomorrow night, Ohav Shalom, my synagogue, we're doing a play and we're having, before the play, is kosher Chinese food. So, we all have our different kind of Christmas traditions.
Right.
But I, it's just a time where people celebrate being together as family. It just happens that it has become this sense of overwhelming expectation in our yes, society.
That causes
in our country.
Heart attacks.
Right, right. That this is what's going to happen on this day, and yeah, and that we're all going to be together with family, and some of us are going to celebrate, and whatever it is. Right, yeah, with the Makatanista and the Mishpucha and everybody else. But, you know, it's, I get it. I respect other people's rights to celebrate Christmas. It's not my holiday. It just isn't.
Yeah.
You know?
But when you look at the poll and the results of that, less people feel it to be a spiritual occasion. Doesn't that come? Don't you think some of that comes? A lot of that comes from the commercialization.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, the fact that it's just rammed on your throat that you have to get this and that, and it becomes
Hallmark
that issue.
Holidays, we
that's
know that.
That's right. That's
right. And it's, this is just another holiday where commercialization.
Well, look, the only reason why Hanukkah is at all elevated. Yeah. Is because it's around the same time as Christmas.
Right.
Except for this year.
Except for this year, it was Thanksgiving. But you know what I mean? It's part of this Thanksgiving to New Year's block of time when there's lots of holidays going on.
We got lights all around our house then.
Yeah. Do you?
Sure.
Yeah. All right.
Not Christmas lights.
You have the blue and white lights.
No. Although we did. Now it's just white.
White lights?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Do you want to read that?
Do I want to read?
Yeah, you read that because I can't read it.
Uh-oh. Hi, Roundtable.
I'm not genetically able to read that.
Okay. As a Yiddish enthusiast, I want to humbly correct your definitions of family-related terms. Mishpucha means simply family, parents, siblings, cousins,
etc. You said that.
It's almost the same as the Hebrew, which is mishpacha. Right. Makatanim, a word that seems to have no equivalent in any language except Hebrew, means the parents of the people your children marry.
That's right.
That's what I said.
That's where we're going.
Right. The male is your mechudim.
That's where we're going.
Okay, go ahead. Try that again.
Mechudim. And the female is your makatanister. Just ask Aaron Lansky if in doubt. Love your show. May you have no sores in 2014, Judy P. from Northampton, Massachusetts.
I like it. And
so
Aaron
thank
Lansky
you very much. And I sort of did say that.
Yeah, you did say that.
I think Aaron Lansky,
I made up a name, a word, which is a half a word and a half a word.
Right.
I'm not going to repeat it here, but I did. Aaron Lansky, who is one of our favorite people in the whole world, who runs the Yiddish Book Center, you know, up there. He's a wonderful man, and he will be the final arbiter of all of this.
Okay.
He's the man who saved Yiddish.
And it needs to be saved.
No, he saved it. He saved it. He went around.
It definitely needs to be saved.
Fantastic.
Yes.
As far as coming up at 2 o'clock this afternoon on Vox Pop will be a forum, and you're going to be discussing the situation in the Sudan, I believe.
Well, it's tentatively scheduled that way. But based on what we've seen here this morning, maybe we'll find something else to talk about at the same time. It's a terrible situation, Sudan, and it does look like the United States in some way will be sending boys and girls again. And, you know, then there's the whole question of whether that's right, whether it's wrong, whether we should let other people work it out, or whether we as a superpower have an obligation. Those are all the issues.
You know, the people there suffered for so long. They finally got some political, structure, and now they're all killing each other again over ethnic cleansing, and it's got to stop.
It's awful.
We remind you that Vox Pop is at 2 o'clock this afternoon. We welcome your comments on anything that we talked about today. Roundtable@WAMC.org, roundtable@WAMC.org. However you all celebrate with whoever you celebrated with, I wish you a very, very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays and Happy New Year.
And I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas out there.
And I want to wish everybody, and that includes Elliot Spitzer, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, whatever. Yes.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We'll be back on No Show tomorrow. We'll be back on Thursday. Have a lovely holiday. Coming up next, a festival of 9 lessons and carols next on the Roundtable.